Hello and a warm welcome to this week's Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. On a weekend where usually on a postcast we'd have just the one day of racing to cover on Saturday, but with Unibet as the sponsors of the Racing Postcast, we're going to be covering a couple of races on Friday that will be on ITV at the Unibet Jump Season opener from Chepstow. Who joins me on the panel this week? We've got the Racing Post, Keith Melrose and Johnny Pearson, along with Super Sub himself once again, Brett Williams. Brett, 6 years Unibet have been sponsoring the jump season open from Chepstow. The jump season is slowly making their way in. We've only got a couple more weeks left of the UK flat turf season before the jumps really get going. But this is where we start to see some of the better horses this weekend.
Yeah, definitely. There's a really good card of runners declared for Friday's meeting and also just a minute ago for Saturday's card at Chepstow. Yeah, the Unibet jump season is open. The sixth year we've sponsored this. And it's sort of grown in stature year on year. I mean, we've definitely got the jump racing weather outside. It hasn't stopped raining for the last 2 weeks. And, you know, looking forward to what should be a pretty, you know, informative weekend of action. Of course, if you're racing in Wales, it's a good car from Foslas on Sunday as well. The Welsh champion who will take in centre stage there. So, no, looking forward to it. And, something for everyone. The Unibet Persian War, of course, the highlight on Friday. And the Unibet Veterans, the start of the Veterans Chase there, of course, which concludes at Sandown in January. So no, it's a good mix of action this weekend. The old fashioned jumpers, we know all about them. And then of course the two rows taking centre stage at Newmarket. And of course the Cesaro, which is thrown in for good measure. So you couldn't complain, whichever way you're looking at it, there's something for everyone this weekend.
Absolutely. And we've got Ed Nicholson definitely heading to Chepstow this week. And will you be there, Brett, as well, speaking to many of the hopeful viewers of the postcast who may be heading to Chepstow?
I will be in DJ, looking forward to it. I mean, I probably should be at Newmarket on Saturday for the Dewhurst, but I'm more important looking forward to the Silver Trophy. But no, it's a good couple of days and very much looking forward to it.
And I know you're keen to get a few specials in for the jump season, especially around the potential star of the upcoming season, that is Constitution Hill. Let us know what you've Unibet have got there.
Yeah, so we've actually just opened a load of new specials on the website. I mean, there are literally too many for me to mention at the minute. But I think that one of the most interesting ones was obviously Constitution Hill. Lots of good words coming out from Seven Barrows over the last couple of days. He's all sort of guns blazing, all roads lead to Newcastle for the fight in fifth, which is a traditional stepping stone, as we all know, for Nicky's Unibet champion hurdle contender. So he's going to go for, obviously, the fight in fifth, and then you think more likely the Christmas hurdle after that, or possibly the Unibet hurdle at Cheltenham, and then, of course, the Unibet champion hurdle in March. If you think he can win all three races, the fight in fifth, the Christmas hurdle and the Unibet champion hurdle, we've got a special that he's 100-30 to do that if you think he can complete that treble. So that's not a bad bet. And also with top price 9-1, Nicky Henderson to regain his champion trainer title, of course, which he lost a few years ago. But 9-1 top price Unibet if you think he can be champion trainer this year. There's loads of specials. I mean, I don't know how to emphasize it too much. There are loads of really good specials on the website. Paul Nichols, Dan Scout, and Christian Williams. You name it, we've got specials for each trainer and jockey. So go on and have a look on the website if that floats your boat.
Yeah, unibet.co.uk, go look at those. But yeah, that is the likely route for Constitution Hill, isn't the fighting fifth Christmas hurdle and the champion hurdle 100-30 with Unibet currently. Right, let's get into the racing then, gents. We've got quite a few races to get through. Like I say, we've got Chepstow, two races from there on Friday. We've got five from Newmarket on Saturday and three from York before getting the best bets. So we start at Chepstow on Friday with the 3:15, which is the Unibet Persian War Novices Hurdle, a grade two event just shy of 2.5 miles, which sees Ryan's Rocket as the 85-40 favourite. Intense Approach, 11-4. Flying Fortune's 130. Juventus de Brion's 5-1. Vincenzo is 9-1. Handle the Kettle's 11-1. And Bullet Seal, the outside of the lot, at 40-1. We'll bring in Keith Melrose here. It's that transition period now that we get, Keith, from the flat turf season into the jump season. Have you got a strong fancy in the Persian War this year?
I really have a strong fancy in the Persian War, to be honest, Sam. It's novice hurdlers at this stage of the season, although the Persian War has got a record, like a surprisingly good record of throwing up really good horses, considering how early it is in the season. I'm not particularly looking closely at these novice hurdlers yet. I'll pick these up as the season wears on. But I was quite interested to see the Juventus de Brion's in this race. I watched back his replays from his two runs in the spring last season before it came on, and he just looked like a horse that was badly lacking in the experience. That run at Ascot where he finishes third is quite good form. Pick Rock wins it. He finishes second in the EBF final next time. And the horse that finished second into the in the water side, that's that was third in a Premier Handicap at the Grand National meeting. So, and they were off marks in the mid to high 120s. So all of a sudden, this horse, yes, horses go on to do good things from the Persian War, but on the day, anything above 130 is a real contender. The fact that Juventus de Brion was so lacking in experience last time we saw him doesn't bother me, because the Skeletons had loads they could have run in this race. If they thought he was still backwards, they wouldn't be touching this sort of race with him, I wouldn't have thought at this stage. So he looks a really interesting sort for this race. Again, it's not a race that that's my area of expertise particularly, but the Skeletons are out trying to get ahead. They're not going to put up a really backward sort for this race. So obviously I'm expecting Juventus de Brion to show a lot more than he did in the spring, which is strong for him anyway.
Yeah, the Skeleton's keen to regain that. Well, it's keen to get that champion trainer title, aren't they, after being pipped by Willie Mullins last season. Johnny Pearson, bringing you in now. I mean, the top two in the market, Ryan's Rocket and Intense Approach, they won the last two starts. And Flying Fortune, he's won his last three. Was there any fancy in here for you?
My main sort of thought process was I'd rather take on Ryan's Rocket than be with him. I mean, Thurgler Bright can definitely get them fit. I mean, he had a good winner, a really well back winner at Warwick and the Bumper a week or so ago. I think it's called K-Lan or something, which might be one to look forward to this season. But you know, you've got Intense Approach and Flying Fortune. They've both been winning both races fit. And, you know, this is arguably their day, whereas something like Ryan's Rocket and Juventus de Brion might be looking further down the season, not be fully tuned up for this. So my, for all, as Keith said, Juventus de Brion was really eye-catching last time at Ascot. So yeah, I'd look to take Ryan's Rocket on with the Intense Approach and Flying Fortune, most probably. And I'll see what the prices are on the day as to what the play might be.
Absolutely. And Brett Williams, who's going to be winning the Unibet Persian War this year?
Well, there's definitely been a lot of money for Ryan's Rocket. Just talking to our traders about an hour or so ago, and they're real strong support for this one, even after entries and then leading into the decoration. So very, very popular in the betting. And maybe because Thurgler Bright has got a good record in this race. He's won it twice. Poetic Rhythm and Accidental Rebel have won it for him. So it's a race that he tends to target. I do agree with both and with Keith and his comments, the fact that he hasn't had a run. So that would sort of suggest that he could be primed for something later on down the line, as opposed to Flying Fortune and an Intense Focus. I think the interesting one is Vincenzo. I know he sort of finally got his head in front last time, or last back end, I think it was Exeter where he won, or with Cantor. Where was it he won? Exeter. He was also entered in the Silver Trophy, so I think it could be significant that Sam Thomas is running this horse in this race as opposed to the handicap. I was actually at Sam yesterday, and he's got a real strong team assembled to go to ball with this year. But no, I do agree. I think Juventus de Brion is, you know, a typical scout and improver. And as you said, he's got lots of entries over the next couple of days. And I certainly wouldn't put you off the scouting horse. But as I said, there has been a lot of support for Ryan's Rocket. Should stay the trip, because he won a point to point, won't mind the ground as well. And as I said, from a yard in good form.
Yeah, okay, yeah, Ryan's Rocket, 85-40 favourite, well supported. Brett Williams reports there, but Juventus de Brion, definitely the interesting one in there, 5-1 currently. We move on to the 350 on the Friday, which is the Unibet Veterans Handicap Chase. This just shy of 3 miles, which is Good Boy Bobby is the 3-1 favourite. Frankie de Burley, 9-2. Cophead is 5-1. Certainly Red, 11-2. 13-2 about Wayfinder. 17-2 about Enrillo. Double figures about the rest of the field. And it's great to see Brett once again, Unibet, big supporters of the veterans races. Obviously, these races made for horses who are 10 years old and above. But a fantastic series. We'll get to see some of these horses that we've all known and loved over the last few years.
Yeah, it's a great, you know, as I said, it's a great series of races. I think it culminates, is it January the 4th, I think, at Sandown for Unibet, a veteran series final. We've also got the middle distance series as well, which is good over 2.5 miles. So those horses don't quite obviously stay three or aren't quick enough for two. They've got 2.5 miles. That kicks off at Wincanton on the 27th of October. So no, it's a good series to be involved in. It's the second year we sponsored the Unibet veterans series, and I think second of five. So yeah, no, it's good to be involved with it. This year's race looks pretty good, as you'd expect. Good Boy Bobby won the race last year. I think he's a couple of pounds higher on this occasion, but you wouldn't think that's too much of a problem for him. I mean, Nigel Twiston Davis could have made a better start to the season. I think he's 38% at the moment, 9 from 24. So that's definitely not to be sniffed at. And then the other one there, the two Amigos, of course, a former Welsh Grand National winner. Only had the one run since then. That was in the Midlands National. So they've obviously had a lot of problems with him. But we obviously know he goes well on the track. So the two Amigos could be interesting. Money-wise, Wayfinder. That's the horse we've seen a lot of support for Ben Jones and Rebecca Curtis. That went now into 13-2 from 11. So a strong supporter for Wayfinder for Ben Jones.
Okay, there you go. Some money there. Wayfinder. And yeah, big price. Two Amigos in this race. Johnny Pearson, you then for the veteran chair. I remember last season, I feel like you saying that these weren't your favourite kind of races. Have you got a fancy in this?
I'm gonna keep it simple here. Good work, Bobby. Twist and Davis typically start the season well. Horse won the race last year for £1 higher. Short enough in the betting, but I think he's got everything in his favour for the day. And you know, for me, he's the most likely winner of the race, to be honest. Well, I remember I was at the meeting a few years ago and View Leon Rouge won. I think Time Hill won the Persian that year. It was pouring with rain. I sort of vowed not to go back. But it's a good day racing.
It is. It is. It certainly is a good day's racing. And like I said, it's 2 days of racing at Chepstow. Go on, Brett.
I should just point out, because I'll get sacked if I don't say this, we are best industry price every single runner in both the Unibet Persian War and the Unibet Veterans Chase from 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. So best industry price with Unibet. There we are. I've got it out.
Don't worry, Brett. You're all right. I won't be reporting that back to Ed Nicholson. But yeah, 9 a.m. Friday morning, you can get best industry price on those races that we're covering here. And Keith, you're the last one to give a selection in the Veterans Chase. Who'd you like?
I really quite fancy one on this, actually. There's a very wrong price that I hope for Brett and his trainer's sake isn't still available at 9 when they go best industry price, because you can get about 10s about Amarillo's I'm looking at, and that's silly. Half these horses will be fit. Good Boy Bobby will be, and I wouldn't disagree with Johnny's assertion he's the likeliest winner, but Amarillo's at least twice the price, and maybe more so. He finished the season actually quite well last year, second to an absolute lot in the Edinburgh National, shaped best over 2.5 miles at Taunton, and then ran a perfectly good race in the old Whitbread, the Bet 365 Gold Cup. Not sure this horse really wants marathon trips. Doesn't need to contend with that here. It's 3 miles. And for all he's been quite a disappointing horse down the years, it's been a lot of hard luck, to be honest, a lot of the time. He's a horse that tends to go really well fresh. He's had a wind up over the summer. He did really good work after the last time he had a wind up. And I just think this horse should be second favourite, and you can get 10s. So it's a silly price in Rillo, and I'm very much with him.
Okay, in Rillo, a big price and a good each way selection there in the Veterans Handicap Chase, 350 on Friday. Right, let's skip a day ahead to the Saturday then, Genesis, where the two-year-olds come out to play. But we start off with a three-year-old plus race, which is the 115, the Space Blues Darley Stakes, over a mile and 1 furlong. And we currently have lead artists, the 5-2 favourite of Unibet. Liberty Lane is 7-2, Ancient Rome 11-2, Alma Beers 6-1, Skellet 13-2, 12-1 about Spirit Dancer, 14's Bar. Keith, to you first on this. Lead artist, obviously second last time to Kinross in the Park Stakes at Doncaster. Now stepping up to 1 mile, 1 furlong. It's a bit of an unusual trip. We don't commonly see this trip, but do we think the step up in trip for lead artist is what this horse needs?
Well, it might be, but we talk about it being an unusual course and distance mile win at Newmarket. There's one very famous race run over the course and distance, and that's Cambridgeshire. And I just can't, like, why is Liberty Lane not? I mean, that horse has barely missed a beat all season. His only bad run is when he was drawn in the car park in the John Smith's Cup. And other than that, he's just been relentlessly progressive. He's won the Cambridgeshire from a big mark last time. It's course and distance, just everything going for this horse. And you look at the Kinross form. Yes, the Kinross form for lead artist is attractive, but really, look at Kinross's form this season. That stands out a mile. He didn't run anything near as good as we've got the Racing Post ratings on Kinross being back to his best that day. It's the only scrap of evidence this season that suggests Kinross is at his best this season. So lead artist is handicap, his RPR is a little bit shakier than Liberty Lane's, and he's toiling in that regard anyway. Not got the course form that Liberty Lane has, not got this relentlessly progressive and likeable profile that Liberty Lane has. So for me, it's just that's the way that's out here. Liberty Lane, I'm not finding one at a big price here, his second favourite, but you've got a case of reputation trumping form, and I don't like those. So I'll be with Liberty Lane.
Yeah, Liberty Lane, you know, a couple of weeks ago, course and distance form in that Cambridgeshire, as Keith has said. Brett, where were you siding in this?
I agree with everything that Keith has said. I mean, lead artist, there are just questions to answer about him as well. I know the ground's there good to soft, and it does tend to dry out at Newmarket quite well. But he's been withdrawn twice on soft ground. So again, the ground conditions would be a little bit of a concern for me. I mean, John Gosson's got another runner in the race, Peaceman. I mean, he hasn't run for 470 days, a massive price around 16 to 1, won his last three. I mean, it just seems a funny sort of time of year to be reintroducing the horse back to the track. I mean, unless he's sort of setting him up for an all-weather campaign. I mean, he's got to be of interest, I think. And then the other one is the Foxes. Again, another big sort of price. You know, a former Royal Lodge winner, hasn't run since April. And this time of year, we often see, you know, you want a fresh horse, you know, one we haven't seen for quite some time because it's, you know, beginning to come to the end of the season. A few of them are starting to grow over the top. So you could throw the Foxes in there as well. But on form at the moment, on a recent form, as Keith's already alluded to, you've got to put Liberty Lane in there as, probably the one they've all got to catch, really.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm glad you mentioned the Foxes there, Brett, because I was a massive fan of this horse as a two-year-old. When he won at Goodwood, beating Classic, and then went on to win the Royal Lodge, finished second in the Craven as a three-year-old, and then won the Dante, I thought, we've got a proper horse in our hand, but it's just been a bit of a downfall for the Foxes. But if this horse can get back to where he once was, I think he's actually quite a big price here and a decent each-way bet, to be honest. Johnny Pearson, everyone seems to be siding with Liberty Lane, the course and distance winner. Is that where you're siding?
Yeah, I'm pretty much just going to echo everything the other two have said. I mean, he'd arguably have another win to his name this season. If you go back to Epsom and Oaks days, just Clifford Lee sat there, not being able to get out the whole time. He's gone off 92 favourite, and just that's just been quite unfortunate on the day. And I think, yeah, he's not missed, you know, he's won. If you watch the race back from Cambridgeshire, 2 weeks ago, you watched that back, he's won as easily as you like. There's no reason to think he's not going to win here again.
Liberty Lane then, the hat-trick horse this week, and yeah, I'd agree, he's definitely the one to beat in this field. Let's move on then, gents, to the first two-year-old contest that we do cover, which is the Palace Pier Zetland Stakes at 150 there at Newmarket, 1 mile 2 furlongs here, which sees Shackleton as the 2-1 favourite. Stars in Their Eyes is 11-4, Dunamay's is 4-1, County Mayo's 15-2, Green Storm 8-1, Too Soon 10-1, the Green Mile is 22-1. Aidan O'Brien and Ryan Moore here with the favourite. It looks like it's going to be that way. And Stars in Their Eyes, Ross Ryan and Rafe Beckett. Rafe Beckett absolutely flying at the back end of the season. 24% strike rate, 12 wins from his last 49 runners at the time of recording. He is absolutely flying. The ground often suits Rafe Beckett. We've currently got good soft ground at Newmarket. I'm not sure exactly what we're going to get on Saturday. Johnny Pearson, how did you look at this two-year-old contest?
I looked at this and thought that Shackleton is probably going to be the winner of the race. Stars in Her Eyes, you know, I liked him last time at Leicester, but it wasn't a particularly good race, and actually was pretty disappointed that in the performance for all the ground was pretty hard going that day. And you look at Shackleton, even go back to his first run behind Hill Road, you go to that Emmett, who came fifth that day, won in the week. Trinity College, you came fourth as one. Shackleton's obviously won since, albeit not the strongest of races. And I think that's, you know, his run last time beating DT is probably the best form on offer here. And I think he'll be the most likely winner of the race.
Okay, Team Ballydore then for Johnny Pearson. Brett, I should actually say Ross Ryan and Rafe Beckett, ARC winning partnership there as well in this race. Fantastic weekend, obviously, on Sunday, then winning the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe with Blue Stocking. And I believe you're a fan of their horse.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, I think that the form of that Leicester, or that his first debut when he finished second to Fields of Gold, is obviously looking pretty strong with that horse going and running well over in France last weekend. The form of his Leicester races worked out quite well. This is obviously a big step up in trip, but soft ground at Leicester is, you know, you need a horse that is going to stay, and I think I wouldn't be too concerned about the distance at all. I think it will suit him. As I said, as you said, the team are in absolutely cracking form. I do, however, think, though, having looked at it in a little bit more detail, I think that Shackleton is ideally the most likely winner. I think they'll probably try and keep it quite simple, just jump and make all, and just, you know, just jump and be a case of catch me if you can, like he did last time at the Curra. The other one there, as you said, there, Dunamass, who's got some good form. That was a decent effort last time out. The form, again, of that has worked out quite well. I think it does look between the top three in the betting, but no, I'm going to stick with my first selection. Don't change your mind. So tonight, Sam, I'm going to be starting.
Good. Clever. Clever. Very, very clever, Brett. I remember watching that growing up. Who was it? I can't remember who the host of that show was.
Matthew Kelly,
that was it. Keith, then you, the Zetland Stakes. Who'd you like?
Um, largely with Johnny, I just thought Shackleton looked as grim a steer as his namesake when he won that race. It kind of was a fairly steadily run race, so I think he has got a bit of class about him. It's not necessarily a bad thing to look like a plodder to win the Zetland Stakes at this stage. It's for the slower end of the two-year-olds. This has got the look of a horse that's going to win some minor Derby trials and be very much a Derby horse for next year. I think he can win this. I'd be pleasantly surprised if he turned out to be good enough to feature prominently in a Derby, but he's that sort of horse, and I think he's the likeliest winner.
Okay, yeah, nice and short sweet there as well. Shackleton for Keith Melrose. Let's go on to the 225 then, which is the Emirates Autumn Stakes, a Group 3 contest over a mile once again for the two-year-old. She's Delacroix is a 6-4 favourite. Silver Peak is 7-2. Wolf of Badenoch is 5-1. Stanhope Gardens 11-2. Genealogy 17-2. Nightwalker is also at 17-2. Wolf of Badenoch has had plenty said about him on this show before, Johnny Pearson, and you're going to tell us plenty more again.
Yeah, I think we were all bigging him up on the last time over at Doncaster. He sort of ran no race really, but he was non-runner. The Parthenon was was non-runner last time. Whatever, it broke through the stalls. And the winner, Basis Urolla, actually had well over a minute out the stalls walking around the back while the others were still sat in there, which I don't think helps any of the others on the day. But that side, he ran no race. He was out back early, not really going. One that I wouldn't actually blame Jamie Spencer, I don't think, was deliberately trying to keep him at the back that day either, which was obviously see quite a lot. And, you know, Mara City, who was behind a Goodwood, actually ran that weekend over in Ireland and was a decent second behind, I can't remember what the winner was, fourth even behind Scorthy Champ for Joseph O'Brien, which is a pretty decent race. And I'm tempted to give him another chance. I don't think we've seen the best of the horse yet. And I think if he gets back to that Goodwood form and improving on that, he could go very well here and a decent price as well.
Yeah, in a smaller field, yeah, that 5-1 is a decent price. And yeah, I think that last run, like you said, Doncaster, it was the Chancellor who broke through the stalls. That delay didn't help any of the runners in that race. And we end up seeing Bay City Roller win that in actually good style. Keith Melrose, to you then, who wins this?
Yeah, I'd had the same thought process to a large degree as Johnny with this one. I was with Wilfred Badenoch last time when he ran at Donny. But that poor run, you can take it with the twoies. You can give him another chance, or you can start thinking, well, what's more likely to be the outlier here? That really funny run of his that Goodwood, that made him look very interesting, or the Donny one. You know, I'm putting him on the naughty step for now, especially with a horse in this field like Delacroix, who, great pedigree, of course, it's by Dubawi out of Teppan, and has that reputation all the way through. I think being on a straight track here is going to suit this horse. He's not looked terribly comfortable on the bend at Leopardstown in his two runs round there so far, and he still managed to run to big figures round there. And once he got rolling up that straight at Leopardstown last time, he was not stopping for anything. So I think on a straighter track, he might just show us what he's about.
Okay. And Brett Williams, you're to finish us off here in the 225. Who are you with?
Silver Peak, really, just to go against Keith, really, and perhaps John, just to give it a bit more of a shake. That was a decent enough winner at Haydock last time, over a mile. We know it's a stiff mile at Haydock, a long straight there, so the ground was good to soft, so again, he's going to get similar conditions today. It's not a race I'm particularly going to get carried away in, but selection-wise, Silver Peak me. It's got an entry in the futurity at Doncaster. I know it's an early close of that, so a lot of them are entered obviously very early before they've even ran a lot of them. But that could possibly be an objective in further down the line. But yeah, Silver Peak for me in the autumn.
Yeah, we're getting plenty of these Ballydoyle Godolphin clashes today, and the next race is exactly that. 3 o'clock at Newmarket is the highlight on their card, the Darley Dewhurst Stakes, Group 1 over 7 furlongs, where Ballydoyle have the favourite with the Lion in winter. Shadow of Light is 11-4, and Ancient Truth for Godolphin 7-2 behind the 10-11 favourite. Seagull's 11 is 12-1, Expanded 25-1, and Rock of Cashel is 50-1. Obviously, the Lion in winter had his form enhanced with Wimbledon Hawkeye winning the Royal Lodge in really impressive style a few weeks back. But Shadow of Light was really good when beating Whistle Jacket, I thought. Obviously, this is a step up in trip to 7 furlongs for Shadow of Light, but Cyberlope de Vega, the dam was Winter Moon, who was running over a mile to 10 furlongs And if you go back and like Whistle Jacket's form this season has been exceptional, even if you look back at that pre-Morney, which last season was a top class race, I think it is again. Rashabar ran a decent race. He finished second in that pre-Morney in the Jean-Luc Lagardère last week. And Daylight, who was finished third that day, was ran an absolute belter in the Cheveley Park as well behind Lake Victoria, who's just turning out to be a bit of a rocket for Ballydore. But I think Shadow of Light versus the Line in Winter, I don't think this Line in Winter is a certainty in this race at all. I'd give Shadow of Light a right chance in here, and I wouldn't be too scared of the trip. What about you, Keith?
I agree with you entirely. I was going to put it this way, that hasn't Shadow of Light already battered Coolmore's Good One?
Yes.
You know, Whistle Jacket was the one, and Shadow of Light gave him a bit of a pasting in the middle park. Looked like a really, really good horse that day. Now, the Lion in Winter looks a good horse too. He strode out in that Acom. He looks a little bit more of the Derby tendency to me. Those horses don't tend to win the Dewhurst anymore. I know that's not reason to disregard him, but I wouldn't be surprised if he gets found out a bit here and goes on to become a really good middle distance horse next year. Shadow Light is obviously up and running to a great extent. You know, we've talked about he's already given the Morney winner something, a serious sore backside, and just should be closer in the betting. Again, we can go with the Ballydoyle hype to a large extent, but they already had their chance to hype a 2-year-old this year. They chose the white hype Whistle Jacket, and we'll see what's happened to that. So I'm going to give Shadow Light a chance at the prices.
Yeah, I really like Shadow of Light. The Line in Winter is interesting because I remember Ryan Moore saying that last run, that 7 furlongs just might be too stiff for him. He's obviously going over 7 again after being impressive last time out. But I agree with Keith, when this horse, you know, steps markedly up in trips, it's going to be even more impressive. And I think he will be the kind of horse that will be ready for a Derby next year. Johnny Pearson, to you then, the Line in the Winter, Shadow of Light, or something else?
I largely agree with what you both said. I mean, I'm probably not going to have a bet in the race. I think there's, you know, you don't know how much they're going to improve. I mean, the one day a back Shadow of Light was obviously where he was second at York. And I thought it was really good to say that, you know, they can have an off day, because there's no way the way he ran at York was a true showing, you know, based on what we saw 2 weeks ago, whatever it was. I was surprised to see Expanded in there. It won well enough at the Curragh on Saturday, but nothing, you know, it wasn't too much. It was quite a bunched finish, and there's nothing to think, oh, you know, it's going to be a really good horse. I mean, the pedigree suggests it'll be decent, but I think he's more possibly Aidan's chucking some pacemakers in the race. And, you know, you look at Rocker Cashel down there as well. So I think that's probably one of the reasons, one of the ways that people are looking at it from a betting point of view. But that, you know, could largely set it up for the others in the race as well. It should consider all the runners that are fancied. So it would just be interesting. I think, yeah, it'd be interesting to see who comes out on top. But I think Shadow of Light is definitely overpriced.
Okay, yeah, that's the agreed thing here. And Brett Williams, going to be an interesting parade ring, isn't it, on Saturday? You're going to have three different huddles. You're going to have the Aidan O'Brien huddle, the Charlie Appy huddle, and then Hugo Palmer somewhere over there with Oisin Murphy with Seagulls 11. But I'm not sure anyone's given a mention to Seagulls 11 yet. I think it's all about the two top guns in Charlie Appy and Aidan O'Brien.
Well, I think you've got to give Charlie Appleby credit for running Shadow of Light again out of the Middle Park just 2 weeks ago. I mean, there aren't many trainers that would want to do that. And, I mean, you know, he's had a fair few hard races, and I know he was impressive in the Middle Park, but, you know, he wouldn't have left much for the next man. I suppose on the plus side, he has won on soft ground, which, again, he's going to encounter at the weekend. So that there are the pluses. The negative, again, as I said, just 14 days after a hard race in the Middle Park would be a slight worry for me, which does bring me to the Line in Winter again. I know the price has gone now, odds on, so you're not going to get rich back in him. But, no, he hasn't run since the Acom, as you've already alluded to. The form of that has worked out quite well with Wimbledon Hawkeye coming out and scoring the Royal Lodge last week. So that's strong form, and it's strong enough for me, to be honest. I do think he'll win, and I think he'll win quite nicely.
Okay, Line in Winter for Brett Williams then. The big handicap on the day at Newmarket is the 340, which is the Cesarewitch handicap. Over 2 mile, 2 furlongs, the big staying race at Newmarket at the back end of the season, which is Sea of Sands, the 7-2 favourite for Willie Mullins and William Buick. Djakovic Cavern is 13-2 for Emmett Mullins and Hayley Turner. Gavin Cromwell has 6.5 in there at 7-1. Maximan is 11-1 for Simon and Ed Crisford. The Shunter, last year's winner, is 12-1. James Doyle getting the ride for Mullins then. Darwee for Gordon Elliott and Jamie Spencer, 12-1. 14-1 about Dawn Rising, Run Frosket and Spirit Mixer, and Bigger the rest in here. Let's come to you first here, Keith. Obviously, last year's winner, the Shunter, £5 higher this year. We haven't seen this horse at all this year, so it's going to be a hell of a last to see this horse go and win this race again. But the money has definitely come for this Woody Muddins runner, Sea of Sands, who's now 7-2 for a Cesarewitch with Unibet.
Yeah, that's a very short price, isn't it? But you can see the attractiveness of the profile. You know, really good flat form on the continent. One wins a maiden hurdle as easy as he likes for Mullins on stable debut. Marker 97 is plenty sort of high enough for what he's actually achieved, but you're building in anticipated improvement for moving to Mullins, which is fair. He's obviously got to be treated as the right winner. Drawn 11 is not too bad, but I'm backing Djokovic Cavern myself. I was on him for the Irish Cesarewitch. He's a little bit like Hasia Sands, and he's joined one of the Mullins, and obviously Emmett Mullins in this case. They really did back him at the Galway Festival on his debut for the yard, and he came from nowhere. I don't think it was the very best of rides on him that day. He came from a long way back at Galway, tends not to work out for you very well, that, and he finished Pearclay with Bustle on that day. Didn't quite get into the Irish Cesarewitch. He was a reserve, actually, and didn't get the run there. But now this was a really good second option to come over here. Decent draw in 14. I have backed him to try and get that, get a bit of revenge for that Irish Cesarewitch. But you couldn't be surprised if the other Mullins horse comes and beats him.
Okay. Emmett Mullins to win the Cesarewitch again, but this time not with the Shunter, but Djokovic Cavern for Keith Melrose and Brett Williams. I'm sure we're going to have extra places. How many are we going to get in this?
Five places in the Cesarewitch this year, which does make it a little bit easier if you're betting. This is the race, Sam, where I usually sort of see them come out the stores, go to the bar, get a pint, drink it, order another one, drink it, go back to the stands, and they're still only halfway to go. They've got another mile and a half to go. The Shunter, just said, we haven't seen him much, but he's been there and done it. He's a bit higher in the weights, so you can make a bit of a case for him. The one I quite like is Manxman for Simon and Ed Crisford. Won't have any issues with the ground. Has got a £4 penalty to defy, but they've managed to secure the services of Sean D. Bowen. So that obviously eradicates that a little bit with a £3 claim. I just think he's quite unexposed, a few ticks in the right boxes. Depends which way you look at. If you're looking at the sort of horses that are improving and on the upgrade we don't know too much about, or you look at the horses that we know plenty about them and how good they are, and it's just a case of which one decides to come out in front on this occasion. Dawn Rising is another one I think you can throw into the mix there for Joseph O'Brien. Tom Marcand, obviously a very positive jockey booking. Hasn't won since the Queen Alexandra at Royal Ascot 2 years ago, but he's got rock solid form if you look close enough. And these are lotteries, aren't they? You might as well just close your eyes and see where your pin lands and go with it.
Sean Bowen on Maxman is interesting because we always seem to get kind of hooked up in the Jockeys Championship, which will end next week with Oisin Murphy landing the prize there. But the apprentice jockey title leading into the final week is quite exciting, actually. Joe Levy's leading it by two rides, 38 winners to 36, but Sean Bowen's on, and Sean's going to try and chase that down. So they're going to be an intense week there for those two and see who comes out on top in the apprentice title. But that'll be a big win for Sean Bowen to let Joe Levy know that he's definitely just on his back. Who did you like in here, Johnny Pearson?
Personally, I'd like to figure out Keith's parameters on what determines what a good draw is in the race. Because you go through the past winners and the play stores as well. They've come from near enough everywhere, high, low, middle.
And you don't want to be very high. I mean, there used to be an obsession in the says years ago about being really low, but that doesn't apply anymore. As long as you're not draw... I mean, you'll struggle to win from very wide, but... You still want to be, I mean, if you want to be under 20,
Yeah, you don't have to run further than everyone else. Yeah.
But exactly, yeah, it's not as much, it used to be seen as a big draw race, it says. It's not to the same extent, but you still don't want to be starting 35 horse widths further from the inside rail than another run rival of yours, is pretty fair to say.
Yeah, I was trying to work out what price an Irish trained winner would be, but I think that'd be quite a big odds on shot, really, wouldn't it? But how much is the form of the Irish edition a couple of weeks back going to come to the fore here? You had Dawn Rising there run well, had 6.5 run really well in that race. And then obviously you've got the other horses, you know, Sea of Sands, who won his maiden hurdle as easy as anything you like the other week. And, the winner's going to come from Ireland, but I just don't know which one it's going to be. And that's sort of my thought process. I'm probably not going to have a bet in the end, but yeah, I can't see a British trained horse winning the race, unfortunately.
We'll get Brett Williams onto the Unibet traders there to see what price. I'm sure that could be priced up potentially with an Irish trained winner of the Cesarich, and potentially that will go out on the Unibet social media page if they do get that priced up. But yeah, an Irish trained winner is very likely, isn't it? With them leading and dominating the top of the market in here. I think they've got the first eight in the betting, or first nine in the betting currently.
Yeah, you've got a Christmas horse in there, but yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, but it's gonna be awfully short, isn't it? So mixed opinions there on the Cesarich Stakes. A fascinating one to get into. I can't wait to watch that. But do let us know down in the comments who you like in that race there. Right, we're gonna have a quick advert break, a bit about the Racing Post Insider, and then we'll be back with three races from York. Welcome back to part two of this week's Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. Sam Hart, Keith Melrose, Johnny Pearson and Brett Williams taking you through the weekend action. We go to York now for three races that are on ITV. The 1:30 is the Rockingham Stakes over 6 furlongs, a listed contest, which is the well-named Bolognese as the 5-2 favourite. Invictus Gold's 3-1, Shadow Army 9-2, Jungle Drums 7-1, It Ain't Too 17-2, Renine 9-1. And 14s bar these. Brett, I'm going to come to you first. We had a food-related winner put up by you last week on the show in the two-year-old trophy at Redcar. 50-1 at the time of recording was Candy for that race there. You gave that a really solid mention that even that night I went out and sent you a picture of me picking up a chocolate bar as I got on the train home. But Bolognese here, the favourite, well-supported. I can see the money's come with Unibet. Rafe Beckett once again.
Yeah, I like a bit of bolognese as well. Yeah, don't like too much tomato in it though, or peppers. Right. But yeah, bolognese has got a cracker. I mean, you keep looking at these races, and Rafe Beckett just seems to have all these horses in it. He's not going to win everything, but yeah, this one obviously sets a standard and it's got real solid credentials. The other one is William Haggis's is Renine filly in the race, and he had the three starts in fact. Didn't make its debut until August. So hasn't ran too many times and hasn't sort of been seen till the latter stage of the season, but was quite impressive at Chester last time on a soft sort of surface. But I think the winner here is Invictus Gold. I fancied it to run well in the two-row trophy at Redcar last week, but it was poured out. I think it was just slightly under the weather. This obviously is plan B, so to speak. But, Neil Callan interested in a positive jockey booking. And I think you can make a good case for that horse. Won't have any issues with the ground. And Invictus Gold for me to upset the favourite. I mean, it's very close, isn't it? You look at the top of the market, there's not much between them at all.
There isn't, no, definitely not.
And we are best industry price in that race, I should say, from 9 o'clock.
Okay, best industry price, 9 a.m. on Saturday morning, that will be. It's the best industry price in the 1:30 at York. Keith, are you a fan of Bolognese?
Yeah, I think it'll win. Just looked a bit of a champ at the kind of decent race start, and it wasn't like being on that near rail seemed an advantage. Everything else on that rail finished out with the washing, and Bolognese won 7 lengths, getting further and further ahead all the time. I think if his horse was coming in off 2 runs rather than 4, or is it 3, sorry, if he's coming in, it's 4, but if he's coming off like 2 runs instead of 4, I think you'd be seeing a short price favourite. I think the fact that performance came a little bit out of nowhere is making a few people more hesitant, but on that form, he just wins.
Okay, Bolognese then for Keith Morris. Keep it simple. And Johnny Pearson, you finish us off in the Rockingham.
Yeah, I agree with Keith. It looked really, really impressive. Got 2 weeks to go to Carra, and it's a decent race, and it's hard to overlook that form and Racing Post ratings. We've got him top there as well, which is on recent runs anyway, which is usually a pretty good indication, and it's hard to look past him, and it'll be interesting to see what his ownership group have a horse next year, because last season I had one called Mayonnaise, which is now with Wathnam, actually. So I'm looking forward to what they name their one next year.
Hollandaise has been put in his early fav. Bearnaise. We've got a lot Hollandaise, of these.
Bearnaise, yeah. We could have plenty of them coming through in the next couple of years. So, yeah, no, the favourite looks quite solid here. Bolognese for Keith and Johnny Pearson. Victor's Gold for Brett Williams. We've now got a handicap from York, the 205, just over 10 furlongs here. Class 2 event, which has Sisyphine as the 9-2 favourite, Valvano 5-1, Bolster 6-1, Dual Identity is also 6-1, Beneteau and Half Secret at 8-1, Stress Free is 11-1, 12s bar these. Again, David O'Mara having big runners in these big handicaps once again on a Saturday on ITV. And Keith Melrose, will you be siding with an O'Mara runner?
Yeah, well, I'll be with Beneteau. Yeah. Thought it was quite an eye-catching run in the Cambridgeshire. Got a bit held up as he came through and could arguably finish second to Liberty Lane that day. That's his third big run in a row, really, in good handicaps. And he's gone up a pound in the weights for it. He keeps running good races. He's been drawn four here. Mile 2.5 at York can be a bit of a draw race on when you get big fields like this one. So I'm quite happy to see stall four. Danny Turthope's on when he's got other options from the O'Mara yard. Thought there was a lot to like, and wouldn't be at all surprised if he goes off favourite.
Yeah, Beneteau, yeah, I won't lie. I was with this horse, actually, on his last run, and it was definitely eye-catching, this step-up and trip. And I think York will suit, but Beneteau, yeah, decent price here, around 8-1. Johnny Pearson, to you then. Have you got an opinion on the handicap at York?
I mean, it's disappointing last time. I would still chance Alvano. First time in a handicap for Rafe Beckett here. You look at the form, and there's one easily on debut, gone off on second run, finished behind Notable Speed Chip. Kempton obviously went on to win the Guineas. And the form of the last race, okay, it's disappointed. But the two in front of him were Gosden horses, one by six lengths, and then another Rafe Beckett horse. And then they're clear of the one behind. I think it probably wasn't as bad a run as you might think based on the sixth length drumming they've been given to. But I think he could be overpriced there. And obviously, again, the odds going as well as any other yard in the country. So I think he's got a good chance.
He's the unexposed one in the field, isn't he, Valvano? Yeah, three runs. Not last run, but the run prior. Second to Notable Speech at Kempton. If you look at that, you know, this horse could be well handicapped and is a fair price at around double figures odds. Brett Williams, who are you with in the handicap from York?
Yeah, I agree with everything John has just said. There's only one horse I've actually written down. It is Valvano, you know, the real eye catcher for me. First handicap. As John has already said, in that form at Kempton, as we were attacked pretty smart. There was Persica behind, and he's gone out and done well since as well. Yes. So that's certainly not to be sniffed at. And he also went on heavy. The ground's soft at York as well. So, you know, the ground won't be any concern for him at all. I just think draw a line through that first run, that first run back. That was his first run since April. So, you know, perhaps he just needed it. Although he does need to improve again. And a mark of 97, I think, because he's running such a good race behind Notable Speech, that's probably why he's got a mark like that. He's got to prove that he's up to that standard. But as we said, the team are in good form. I think Rafe Beckett's 24% at the minute, 18% at York as well this season. So, yeah, Valvano for me, put it this way, if 11 or 12 to 1 in a race where we're paying four places each way, you might as well back him for a place.
Absolutely, yeah. Extra places there in the 205 at York. And you're going to get extra places once again in the 240 at York, which is the Coral Sprint Trophy handicap. Six furlongs here. Heritage handicap, where Room Service is the 15-2 favourite. Strike Red is 8-1. Germanic is 9-1. Gerbat is 11-1. Arazio and Malk, along with Elise Dancer, are 12-1. And guess what? The fifth guest of the postcast, Samagand, is in there at 14-1 as well. Please, please, before the end of the season, just get a win under his belt. Keith, we absolutely love Samagand. Everyone loves Samagand because he almost runs every week. But again, another tough ass. He's going to try it. He's going to end up finding trouble in a field like this once again, isn't he? But, you know, an open field, no matter what you pick, you're going to get a decent price.
I think so. And Samagand, I mean, isn't his best chance of a win now? I assume they're looking for one last win and retiring him. I assume
sure
that's what
they are, yeah.
They're better going on the all-weather than turf at this time of year. He's always had a little bit of a better record on fast ground. So now that that's sort of gone and is unlikely to come back, they might just be better off switching with the all-weather. And we'd all be out cheering for him from the Baltleys if Samagand does get that last win, because we do love him. But I'm not backing him here. I'm trying to work out why I've abandoned Room Service, because I was on him for the Ergo Cup and troubled passage. I think he picked the far side from a high draw, and I just didn't, it was a bit of a mess all over, really, and didn't shape badly considering. But I've also had my eye for most of the summer on Strike Red, who hasn't been getting, he's been running well on quicker ground. His very best form's always been on softer side, and he's run some belting races. Now, he actually finished in front of Room Service in the Ergo Cup. He had a low draw, stuck to that low draw, and, you know, he did. I'm not sure he won the far side, but he was within necks of winning the far side again. So that's another good run from Strike Red. And especially with you getting extra places on offer, I'm going to stick with him, and I'm going to say he gets one more chance on softer ground. He's been knocking on the door of running a big race in one of these big sprints for a couple of months now. He gets one more chance on conditions that in theory are just about ideal for him when he's been sort of running well against the grain of late.
Yeah, Strike Red, 8-1, really solid with those extra places. Course and distance winner. Brett Williams, who did you like in this?
Again, it's a real tricky race, as you've said. You're going to get value wherever you go because it is so open. We are paying you the really two four places. Two I've narrowed it down to. Al Bowden for Jane Chapel-Lyman and Danny Tudhope. First run in a handicap has been quite highly tried. Another one that would go on the ground, wouldn't be any concerns about that. And if he can cope the step sort of down, first run in a handicap, you've got to let that one into the equation. The other one is Richard Fahey's Malk for Midland Park Racing. Hasn't been seen since running well down the field in the Commonwealth Cup. This obviously isn't a Commonwealth Cup, albeit it's very competitive. And I just think in each way sort of prize 14, 16 to 1, where we're paying four places each way, I wouldn't put you off that one as well. So Al Bowden and Malk, we both stepping into handicap company for the first time.
Couple there, double figure odds. You get those each way extra places there with Unibet. And Johnny Pearson to finish us off with the ITV action.
Yeah, so I've done the racing post ratings for this race earlier on today, and Strike Red did come out as the selection for the race. He was on the wrong side of the track last time, as Keith said. Lethal Levi's come down the stairs, well, finishing very strongly. He's been running well, just things haven't quite been going his way. I think the soft ground will help, as he's won us off the Curra last year. And you feel there's going to be a win coming at some point. Obviously, the one of the strokes, he's not coming down the handicap much because he keeps running so well still, which is without winning. But I think it looks a winnable race, and he's the one I think who's most likely to get the job done.
Okay. Strike Red, really solid there. Like I say, 8-1 with Unibet at the time of recording. So there are selections from all of the ITV races, including the two from Chepstow on Friday. We'll be back shortly after this for our bets elsewhere, as well as our weekend naps.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out, you're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 uni boosts every day on any horses you want. Unibet, you're on.
Welcome back to the final part of this week's Racing Postcast, brought to you by The Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. You still have Sam Hart, Keith Melrose, Johnny Pearson and Unibet's Brett Williams. Now taking you through other bets for the weekend. Do the panel fancy anything away from the ITV cameras this week? And I'll come to you first, Keith Melrose.
I've started watching the chases again this week. I always start that after the arc. Some nice handicap chases at Chepstow on Saturday. I'll wait and see what the market does with the 4:35, the Native River handicap chase. I could have a bet in that. But one of the sort of telling things about that race, it's a 3-mile race, and the race before it, the 4 o'clock, was a 2-mile, 3.5 furlong race. And Dan Skelton could have done two things with the King of Rye Hope this season. He could have done his wind, or he could have put him down in trip. And he's chosen to put him down in trip, where he could have obviously run him over 3 miles in the Native River on the same card. This horse, he went off a favourite for the Freebooter, the 3-mile-1 handicap chase on Grand National Day. Tanked into that race from absolutely nowhere. He got completely the opposite ride to the winner, Cruise Control. He was out the back and Cruise Control made all. And he still came into contention, then looked to sort of choke between the last two a little bit. He's had a bit of an interrupted season there. He ran a big race in the Reynolds Down at Ascot. Before that, he'd looked very good on his debut, actually, when he won at Chepstow. He won it October last year, he won at Chepstow. So they've sent him back here deliberately. They're choosing to go down the shorter trip route rather than the let's do his wind and see how he gets on at 3 miles route. So I'm very interested to see how he gets on this season. He's one of my handicap chasers to follow for the season, actually. That's going to be in the big jump off, which is coming, is it next week?
Monday after Champions Day, isn't it?
Yeah, so the big jump off's coming out, and King of Rye Hope is one of my handicap chasers to follow. If he runs like a drain on Saturday, he might come out. But the hope is that he benefits from having that lesser emphasis on stamina.
King of Rye Hope then, yeah, that'll be one of the handicap chasers to follow for Keith Melrose. Little teaser there to the big jump off. Yeah, not too long until that comes out. Champions Day, the Monday after Champions Day. I think it's the 21st, I believe, of October that'll be. But yeah, you can get that in the paper. Brett Williams, you'll be at Chepstow, like we said at the start of the show this weekend. What have you got from there, or is there something elsewhere?
Well, as I said at the top, there's a good card from Foss Lass on Sunday as well, the Welsh Championhood, which has moved, used to be actually at Chepstow, they moved it to Foss Lass. Lump Sum is going to run for Sam Thomas and Di Walters. I know it's a race he's really keen to win for obvious reasons. Ran a solid race behind Mystical Power in the Grade 1 company at Aintree last time. I know Sam says horses working really well. I actually saw him yesterday. He looks $1 million. So, Lump Sum, looking forward to seeing him run in the Welsh Championhood as well. And there's another one, actually. There's a Mares Novice Chase for Ganesha Jockeys, a mare called Smiling Getaway, which has a chase debut for Nigel Tristan Davis. Spoke to him yesterday and I said, are you going to run? He said, yes, because I think she will win. So that could be a tip in itself.
Then
the first race at
Foss Lass
on Sunday, but keep it quiet. Don't tell anybody.
We've already mentioned the Nigel Tristan Davis. They've started in good style, haven't they? But yeah, a couple there to follow. We were speaking during the ad break. Johnny Pearce said he wasn't going to bore us with Australia, but definitely worth keeping an eye on Australia over the next couple of weeks because there are some big races leading into the Melbourne Cup, which is only a few weeks away, first Tuesday in November. So looking forward to that as well. Right, let's get the weekend naps then. I believe we're all coming from Newmarket this week. And I'll start with you, Keith Melrose.
Yeah, it's the one that we all fancied at Liberty Lane in the 115 for reasons mentioned. You know, it's just, it's there on, it's reputation that keeps the other one favourite. And you know, we've got to oppose that.
Yeah, Liberty Lane, we're all strong on that one there. Johnny Pearson, your best bet, please.
I'm going to go with Wolf of Baden Oak in the 225 at Newmarket.
Give me another chance. Wolf of Baden Oak in 225. I'm going to side with Shadow of Light against the Lion in the winter in the Dewhurst Stakes at 3 o'clock from Newmarket. Like I say, Shadow of Light beating Whistle Jacket really easy last time out in the middle part. The step up and trip is going to be no trouble based on breeding for this horse, and like I say, Whistle Jacket himself has got some really strong Group 1 form, so I think Shadow of Light definitely shouldn't be the prices at around 11 to 4 with Unibet, with the Lion the Winter a short price favourite at 10 to 11. So yeah, Godolphin to win the Dewhurst with Shadow of Light, and Brett Williams, you to finish us off.
Yeah, stars in their eyes in the Zetton Stakes at Newmarket, 150, and this is obviously a big step up in grade, stepping up in trip as well. Won over a mile on soft ground at Leicester last time, so wouldn't be concerned whatsoever about the step up in distance. It will probably bring out even more improvements. So stars in their eyes for me to upset the favourite in the Zetland at 150.
Stars in their eyes. There they are on screen. Now they are your weekend naps. These will be boosted by Unibet at the time of this podcast video and audio podcast upload. So do head to unibet.co.uk to get hold of all of the boost there. We've walked through, 10 races there in fairly sharp enough time then, gents. Just quickly find out what everyone is up to this weekend. Brett, you're going to be racing in Wales this weekend. That's all we know.
Yeah, Chepstow, Foss Lass. Simple.
A weekend in Wales for Brett Williams. Keith Melrose, anything exciting for you?
Followers of the Associated DIY channel will be pleased to know my living room gets finished this weekend. But my job this weekend, because it's finishing touches getting put on, my job is to take the kids out. So I won't be doing anything this weekend. But I will be taking the kids out so that my wife can get finished off with the bits and bobs.
Perfect. Weekend with the family, ideal. And Johnny Pearson, where are you this weekend?
I don't actually know what I'm doing this weekend. I think I'm seeing some friends. But I did realise I was meant to say one for any other horses this weekend. It's in the 4:10 at Newmarket on Friday. Highland Bling looks an astronomical price for Jessica Harrington. That's one definitely to keep an eye on. Might be worth an each-way play.
Okay, keep that one. Look at that, nice and secret. Right at the end of the show, people tuning in to make sure they get hold of that. But 1-4 at Newmarket on Friday. And I'm going to be working all weekend. Got a busy weekend leading up to Champions Day next week. Really looking forward to that. We'll have a good show next week with six races. Champions Day from Ascot, six quality races there, which will include the Balmoral Handicap to finish things off. So look forward to that. Big thanks to the panel as always. We've got Keith Melrose, Johnny Pearson and Brett Williams. We'll be back again next week with another show. Until then, do like, comment, share and subscribe. And we'll see you again very soon. Thanks for watching.